Blog Talk Radio.
Production presents Black Urban America. We Talk Productions is one of the few Black-owned internet stations that focus on solutions and issues in the Black community. And my name is Kenny Jones. If you are listening by laptop and if you have any comments or questions, you can dial 909-265-9215. Again, the number is 909-265-9215 and press 1. We have other shows for We Talk Production presents on Saturday, Provocative Thought by Cough to Sneeze, 8 p.m. to 9. Of course, you have myself, Tuesday evening, Kenny Jones with Black Urban America from 8 p.m. to 9. Wednesday, and all of you people are feeling this person, Jamarian Harris, a.k.a. Jaka Zulu, the elephant in the room. He comes on Wednesdays, evenings from 8 p.m., 9 p.m. Second Tuesday each month, we have the lovely Miss Ann Dillard, who will be talking, exploring, and discussing healthy relationships in the Black community. Every third Tuesday of the month, we have T. Nathan, Melinda, and Razzie with Calm Down. Let's discuss racism. This is Black History Month. I hope everyone is attending lectures, workshops, and sharing with their families and loved ones about the struggles and the challenges that we face as communities in this nation. Not only in this nation, but all over the world, globally. And knowing that we have to continue to fight. I know we came a long way, but we have a long ways to go. We still have this thing called self-hatred. We still have this thing, crabs in the bucket. We still have people having beefs where we don't need to have beefs. We have gentrification. We have the education system, the political system. Any institution in America, it appears to be anti-black male. And well, that's not the discussion tonight. But tonight, I have a special guest. He's an educator, an advocate, and a lover of cigars. Welcome to the show, Mr. Madison Downs. How are you this evening?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, glad to have you. Glad to have you. I want to start out tonight. Since we had Super Bowl Sunday, a lot of us were asked not to participate or even look at the game. In fact, Kaepernick's girlfriend or fiance, I don't know if she's a fiance, common law wife, I don't know, said, I ain't gonna quote her, but this is what I've been hearing and reading. If you're not with, if you participate, either with us or against it, if you participate, you're against us. I mean, Jay-Z didn't participate. His wife didn't participate. There were a lot of black stars that were asked to participate that did participate. I got to give kudos to them. I got to give kudos for providing support for Colin Kaepernick. But my man from Atlanta said, you know, hey man, you know they're in my town and they asked me to participate. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Which he has that every right. How you feel about that situation?
You know, I see it kind of multifaceted, man. I have links to the NFL. I haven't played for the Chiefs a while back. So I know how hard
Excuse me, Madison. You want me to hurry up and get you some tissue, wipe your tears from your eyes for the Chiefs not being in the Super Bowl?
Man.
I just had to throw that out there. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to, man.
That was a tough one. That was a tough loss, man.
Patty and Andy will have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl next year. I guarantee. Well, at least again in the AFC Championship. And I think they'll pull it out because they got some draft choices. If they could build up that defense, I mean, the defense came to play in the championship. I mean, can't play no better. But that day,
it's going to go out again.
Well, it's going to go.
Yeah, it was a tough break. It was a tough break for us, man. You know, when Ford, you know, he lined up off sides. I guess he was used to cheating up a little bit and, you know, ended up encroaching. So, you know, the thing about that was normally, you know, you check with the sideline ref, you know, to make sure that you're not on the line. But I think he was just trying to get back there, you know, just being overzealous. And, you know, we got the penalty at the wrong time, and that's what cost us the game. You know, the rules are the rules with overtime, you know, whoever scores a touchdown first wins. And you knew that if we got the ball first, you know, we were going to go down and score a touchdown.
You could probably say
Mahomes was going to drive. Yeah, he was going to drive. And then you had Brady, and we all know what Brady can do. So, and he did it. You know, they got the ball first. You know, that's the way the ball that's the way the coin falls, I guess.
That's the way the coin toss go. Let me ask you this. You think the Patriots is going to go to the White House? Because so far, the Warriors didn't go to the White House. I don't think the baseball team went to the White House. They won the World Series. I don't think they went to the White House. You think the Patriots going to go to the White House?
Yeah, I think there are going to be several of them that's going to go. You know, you had Tom Brady running around with a Make America Great hat on again.
Yeah.
Tom Kraft, obviously, is a huge Trump supporter. You know, there's no doubt that
they're good friends, too.
They're great friends,
so they're
you know.
Well, I hope they don't demand the black players to go.
Well, they're not. They're not. There are several black players that have decided that they're not going to visit, you know. And then they took it a step further and they said, okay, well, if it were Obama, you know, we're going to go. We'd be happy to go visit him, you know. So there are going to be several players on the Patriots team that are not going to visit, you know. So you know, it's going to be, you know, a broken team, and it's unfortunate that we have this type of individual that brings this type of division to our country at such a time as this, you know.
Later. I have a couple of questions I want to ask your perspectives on about our current president. But getting back to Colin Kaepernick, you know, you said you have multifaceted feelings about people, the blacks that participated in a Super Bowl and the ones that turned down the offers. Mr. JC, with like my respect for him, like what he's doing for black ball players is tremendous. You know, helping them with their finances, making them, you know, like agent now, making a financial consultant to them. He has grown in the past. I see this boy grow up in the past 25 years when Big Daddy Kane was taking him on tour with them. I mean, he has grown and everything, and what he's doing for, I mean, his pro-blackness is really, really, and you think he'll be one of the ones that just go for the money and forget about everything, but coming out of Marcy Projects, which I know very, very well, in Brooklyn, I can see where you get that from, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he tried to explain a little bit of that in his last album. You know, he really went heavy into finances, trying to, you know, tutor people, you know, with his lyrics. But, you know, what he's doing with NFL players insofar as coaching them along and helping them with their finances is huge. And the reason why I say that is, you know, I can remember the first day I got to Arrowhead. The first thing they do is they bring you in, you know, your agent brings you in. You get to meet with, you know, you go through the entire facility. They give you, you know, the Arrowhead's like a museum. They've got all these busts and, you know, this history and all that.
Lynn Dawson, Otis Taylor, Kansas City Chiefs, at the first black middle linebacker, Willie Lanier.
Yes. And so there are a couple of key people that you meet with. You know, you meet with the VP of player personnel. You meet with a representative from the FBI, and you know they go over some laws, things of that nature. Yeah, you know why they do that. You know why they bring in. You know, at least when I went, that's what we did. You know, they had us meet with.
Hello? Madison? Well, excuse me, we have a little technical difficulty. Let's play a little music.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now.
I don't know what was going on. Yeah, so, you know, you meet with the FBI. They go over some laws and things of that nature. And I think the reason why they do that is because what happens is you become a target once you're there. You know, everybody, you got to realize that most of that, when I went to Arrowhead, it was after a stint with the Marine Corps. So I was older. I had a family, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, what people fail to realize is these are still children, basically, who are now corporations in and of themselves, multimillionaires. And so they become targets to all kinds of sharks and people who really have, you know, malintent for them, just trying to, you know, get as much out of these athletes as they can. The other piece is, you know, they coach you against, and it's going to sound funny, family, you know, not spending money too much, spending all your money trying to raise up everybody else in your family who may be in poverty or whatever the case. And so they try to coach you on that, but it's not a long-term thing. So when you look at what Jay-Z is doing with what he's doing with trying to coach these players on and tutor them on how to invest properly, if you want to take care of your family, there's a proper way to do that. There's an incorrect way to do it or a way that could hurt you. You know, but if you're young, if you can imagine, if you're coming from the gutter, you know, and then you finally come into some money, you know, the first thing people do is, especially if you're a single person, you want to take care of mama. So you go buy them a house and a car. You got to take care of Mom Duke, right?
Yeah, and then, gotta take care of Mom Dukes. You know, I don't care what they say. My mother's gone. If I was in that situation, you know, mom, gotta take care of moms. I still live in the apartment. Mm-hmm. I take care of moms. I take care of me next year.
Yeah, but here's the catch with that. A lot of the, you know, the according to the NFL PA contract, the contracts are written in such a way that a lot of that money is not guaranteed. So you get a lot of players who are free agents, like I was a free agent. So, you know, you get some money, you get a little lump sum, but, you know, money goes very, very quickly, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, you go out there and you put yourself in debt with a $500,000 a home, you know, and then you go out on top of that. Let me tell you, man, when I rolled in to the parking lot at Arrowhead, the first thing I noticed was the vehicles. You know, I mean, man, it was like watching, it was like walking into a parking lot and there was nothing but exotic cars everywhere, man. And see, the thing about it is before I even got there, I got into an argument with Mercedes and Cadillac and told them to get the cars away from me. Oh, no, no, they would come and drop the cars off at your house. Don't worry about it. Just put me in contact with the agent. But you don't have a guaranteed contract yet. So that's just accruing more debt, accruing more debt. And so that's what they do with these kids. And so with people like Jay-Z and what he's doing by coaching these kids along, you know, they got somebody they can look up to. Because the way that they do it in the league, unless you have a good agent who is really there for you, they're not going to care about you. Oh, go ahead and spend that money. Get into debt. Then when they get depressed, yeah, they're playing. You know, my dream job. Yeah, you're playing, but then you're accruing more debt. You know, you're having to pay for all this. You don't have a guaranteed contract. You know, those zeros look good if it's guaranteed. But, you know, you get out there and wipe out a knee or an ankle, then they put you on IR. You're not getting paid like that. And if they put you on the practice squad, then you're making 60 to 80, maybe 150, you know, not a whole lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money to the average person, but when you're living in that lifestyle, you know, you can go to the restaurant and, you know, spend $150, you know, on a meal just for yourself without even knowing it because you're in that scene. You know what I mean?
Lifestyle.
And if you're a child,
lifestyle has changed.
Yeah.
In
a blink of an eye. In a blink of an eye. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely respect to Jay-Z and the other celebrities who decided to boycott the Super Bowl. Now, I never boycotted the NFL. You know what I mean? Now, I didn't watch a whole lot of the Super Bowl, you know, for obvious reasons. I really can't stand the Patriots.
I understand. My heart go out to you. You know, I understand. You know, but I had some mixed feelings too.
Here's what I'm saying. As an athlete, I know how hard I work to get there. And I know that those other athletes, you know, people look at D1 football players like I played at San Diego State. You know, you're up at 6 at work, you know. You're working out. You got a film session, whatever the key. You're eating breakfast with the team. Then you have maybe 4 hours to go to college to get your academics. Man, you know, I was a 3.75 GPA student through college. But I can remember, you know, on that level, going to classes, especially oceanography, and falling asleep, man.
in class.
Yeah, yeah, I fell asleep in a couple classes too after practice.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what made me take a 6 o'clock class. I don't know what made me take a 6 o'clock class after football practice. I don't know. I did.
Well,
I almost failed the course. I had to get a tutor.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking classes from maybe eight. You're taking classes from maybe 8 to 12. Then you're rushing to, you know, get a lunch in, and then from maybe 1 to 2 you're in individual film sessions. From 3 to 5 you're on the field practicing. Then afterwards,
right,
it's a mandatory tutorship. You have to go to tutoring. You know, I barely had any time for my family. So people don't realize that D1 players are playing, you know, they're working very, very hard to maintain.
Yeah, I played the speech great. So I had the regular specials.
Okay.
You did. But we had to combine schooling with education, with sports. And unless you're a high-level D3 school, you don't have that much support.
Like Mount Union or something like that?
Right.
I think it was Mount Union is a top dog, right, for D3?
Yeah. Well, it used to be Slippy Rock and Montclair. Montclair State, where Sam Mills went to, God rest his soul. Mills went to Montclair State. You know, that was the national, the D3 school. They was always going to the national championship. Okay.
Right.
Switch
mm-hmm.
focus. What do you think about the president's staff, campaign staff? Most of his campaign staff at parties
mm-hmm.
have been indicted. And how about the latest one, Stone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, they're going after his campaign there were just indictments sent out and subpoenas. Well, actually, subpoenas sent out for the information. I think that, you know, this guy is in a lot of trouble. You know,
half of them in jail already. Half of them are in jail.
Yeah, but that, you know, so what Mueller is doing is, you know, one of the things they teach us in the Marine Corps and also especially as officers in the military is that you have to be very careful when you're dealing with your superiors. You know, you can know that a person is corrupt, but by the time you hit them with the facts, they have to be the facts. So what Mueller's doing, it seems like to me, is he's going around and he's taking out all the king's men. You know, fortunately, based upon the last arrest with, what's the guy's name? Looks like the Penguin. Okay, I'm drawing a blank right now. The last
Stone.
Roger Stone. Yeah. You know, he dresses like the Penguin. You know, he got those, those fly suits, the purple with the round glasses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that they uncovered more information from him, which led to these newest subpoenas. Okay, and so what Mueller is doing is he's covering his sticks. He's watching his back. He's making sure that, you know, he's leaving the breadcrumbs for anyone who can come behind him. They can see, okay, well, he was on the level with every indictment that he sets forth. Especially as a Marine, you want to make sure that you're always doing everything on up and up. You know, the worst thing Marines want to do is have somebody come behind them and tell them that they're incorrect about anything. You know, you're taught to be perfectionists. That's why I believe that Mueller is actually going to get Donald Trump. And so far as
it looks that way, doesn't it?
It does, but
it looks that way.
Well, here's the thing: the other piece to it is the
CNN this morning. I was watching CNN this morning, and they were making the comparison with Nixon people and Trump people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a correlation that's right there.
Yeah, it's definitely there. You know, and you look at Roger Stone, I believe he has a tattoo of Nixon on the back of his neck. So, you know, the Nixonianism is definitely running deep within that entire administration. What I think is going to be really interesting.
You think he's a traitor? You think this whole wall thing is just a delusion, or not a delusion, to get us thinking, to get our mind off of the Russian probe? You know, this is what I said about 3 weeks ago on the show, of that I said that $5 billion is not a lot of money to the United States government. Why he shut the government down and everything? I think it's a distraction. It's a distraction to keep our mind off what's really going on. Do you think Trump is a traitor? I mean, they use the words like traitor. You think he's a traitor?
My personal feelings are that, yes, I think that he's committed acts of treason. You know, when he started with the whole WikiLeaks thing, you know, it's not so much asking WikiLeaks for the information or to provide the information, but you knew that WikiLeaks had connections with, you know, he was working connections with Russia. You know, but it's so convoluted because, you know, Obama knew about this way back before, too. And he didn't do anything about it. Why he didn't do anything about it really befuddles me. I'm really confused as to why Obama didn't act beforehand. But he didn't. So then the campaign was, you know, it proceeded. And then we kept on.
There's no difference between a Republican and a Democrat, no matter what color you are. I mean, it's all in that game.
Well,
it's all in that game.
Same bird, right? Yeah. It's 2 weeks with the same bird, yeah. And the evidence of that is what's going on in Virginia, right? You know, it used to be that, insofar as politics are concerned, our fathers and our grandfathers used to be Republican, right?
Right.
And then
what
happened
was Lincoln.
It switched over, right? So then you had
Democrat because of Kennedy, because of the civil rights. Yeah, because Kennedy sent the troops down. Yeah, prior to the civil rights.
Martin Luther King, all those guys.
We was part of the Republican Party because of Abraham Lincoln, supposedly. And then because of the Civil Rights Movement and the connection between King and the Kennedy and Johnson, we became Democrats. Because to be honest with you, there were Democrats that they want black support. There were black support.
Yeah. Oh, come on, man. Yeah, they didn't want it, you know. And the thing about it is,
especially some of the Democrats.
Especially
some of the Democrats. They didn't want the support from us. I just want to say to the audience, if you have a comment or a question, just press one. Or dial 909-265-9215 and press 1. Go on. I'm sorry, Madison. Go on.
You know, regarding the political system, I think that a lot of this can be alleviated if we would actually start teaching the facts, you know, at an early age regarding our history. You know, for example, yeah, a lot of people were African-Americans or black folk were Republican, and you say it was because of Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation. But if you really knew the truth and you knew about the Hundred Years' War, if you knew about what officers had written about the battles and encounters in the Hundred Years' War, or also known as the Gullahs, you know, that stuff right down there in the fucking line, how war started, how there were so many slave revolts, and that is what really caused Lincoln to. It forced him to have the Emancipation Proclamation. So it wasn't so much about someone proclaiming something and then all of a sudden we had our freedom. No, it came as a result of us really fighting back our oppressors. Because, you know, and I know that sounds really harsh, but it is what it is. I mean, because we're on the radio. But what is, right? So what happened was we were revolting all over the South and we were decimating the South. And if anyone doesn't believe me, all they have to do is they have to look up the history on the Gullah Wars, on the Hundred Years' Wars, and learn about true American history that they don't teach.
They really don't.
Yeah. You know, so then they come up with these terms, you know, that are connected, like Seminoles. So a Seminole was nothing more than a runaway slave. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's no Seminole Indian, like with talk about down in Florida. So that's a whole, say, you know, it has nothing, there was no connection to real history. You know, what happened was a lot of stuff ended up running and running down south, they ended up in Florida and stuff like you know, living. You know, these were slaves that had revolted and, you know, destroyed masters trying to find better life for themselves. And this took place over a period of 100 plus years. And this is what caused Abraham Lincoln to claim emancipation. And, you know, obviously because he proclaimed with him president, became Emancipation Proclamation. They accredited that, not really behind the matter. But I think that people knew their history at the time, and we, educators, were before the issue that they actually taught real American history, that I think people come up on the truth. They wouldn't really get caught up in this whole political thing. To just analyze critically and write for themselves as lives.
Yeah, yeah, and also, like you said, there are a lot of terms that's from that war that we continue to use today. You know, and also, people got to understand that by taking the slavery away, that was breaking the back of the South. Economically, and people don't know this was more of an economic war. This was not a moral war. This was an economic war. They wanted to change the lifestyle,
right.
To industrialization. Because London, England was leaving the economic trade to industrialization, and Lincoln wanted to catch up.
Well, you had that, but it was also the economic war. Then also the religious component that was added into it, especially vis-a-vis the Baptists. Like back then,
you're breaking up. Can you do something about your device? You're breaking up.
How about that? Can you hear me?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you had religious component. You had clergy members who actually did see a component to it. Really, to be very delicate, you know, in your teaching, you know, to another school in the South called Carson Newman College, now called Carson Newman University, and it's a Republican university and college back then. It was a private school. And they want to quasi, obviously, all city type people. When they talk about Civil War, they'll be quick to harp on the fact that, oh, this wasn't about slavery, it was about economics. But the two were intertwined. You know?
Yeah, true.
So you can't
free
separate
labor.
One from the other. Huh?
Free labor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely free labor. I mean, it takes free labor. You know, look at what just happened last week where he fired all those undocumented workers. Do you think those people, the benefits they deserved, and you know, they probably didn't pay it under the table, you know, didn't have tax ID numbers, you know? So it's always something. So now, they, you know, that people could not get the free labor off of our backs, they look for the next person, you know, the next group. Or they could try to prey on, and it happened to be the Hispanics. You know, the issue with the Hispanics is they're coming in, but you know they're coming in droves. They're almost colonizing. You know, they go into an area and they set up camp. You know, they buy a home. There'd be several families in the home. Then they, you know, got a whole block next to you know. Then
they show a great deal of unification. They look out for one another. Somebody new come in the community, that person don't have to worry about shelter. That person don't have to worry about food. And that person don't have to worry about employment. And in 6 months, He have his children, his wife, or his husband come up. He got his own place. I mean, you know, black folks used to be like that.
And the problem, you know, it's not popular in contrary to popular. I think that what this the black people was the integration of schools.
Right.
I think that when they integrated schools, it, you know, the next thing that happened was you had the downfall of black businesses. And you
yes.
had a new form of socialism movement so far as taking the man out of the home, you know. All that, you know, just compounded and compounded, destroyed the black family, destroyed the black economy, you know. And that's not looking at, you know, things like what happened with Black Wall Street. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about
right.
a systematic destruction of black economics, you know, from miseducation.
Yeah. And I could think that to integration, too. I mean, I hate to say, you know, a lot of our dollars start leaving the community due to integration because we could go downtown now and go to the stores. We could spend money with them, spend money at their restaurant, spend money at their stores.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's not a good thing to be able to do that. But the issue, the problem with that is, you know, it's like this, man. Like, I've been married for 23 years, 24 years, something like that. You know?
Congratulations. So, you made it.
Thank you. Thank you. The point I'm trying to make is that I eat at home. I eat dinner at home with my family. Now, I could go to McDonald's. I could go to a restaurant. But I would not be healthy that on a daily basis. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I work a lot. You know, I work a lot. You know, I drive a long way to get to work. So it would be very easy for me to skip out on a dinner at home and just pick up a meal on the way home from work. But if I did that, I would not be healthy. All right? So now if I'm not healthy, then and I get sick, then the family breaks down.
Right.
Because I'm the umbrella. I'm the head. I'm the head. Same thing with economics. Okay? There was once upon a time, economics was at home. There's nothing wrong with urgent every now and then. And yeah, I might want to go.
We lost you again. Madison,
how about now?
Lost you. Okay.
Can you hear me? My fault. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, with every now and again going out and getting fast food, but the majority of your meals need to be different from that than economics. The majority be at home within the community.
Right.
What's that?
I lost you again. I keep losing you in and out, Madison.
You know what I think it is? It's weather out here. It might be the weather.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it may be the weather out here. I'm not sure what it is. I'll repeat what I said, though. What I said was there's nothing wrong with eating out every now and then, but the majority of your meals need to be at home.
Right.
Likewise.
Which we don't do that anymore. We don't
sit
at the table as a family no more.
Well, you know, insofar as finances are concerned, there's nothing wrong with going out to spend money elsewhere every now and then, but the majority of your money need to be within your own community.
That's right.
So you can maintain a solid base at home. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line, we lost all that.
Let me ask you something, Bob, dear President. Let's go back to President Trump again. You know, it was reported today that there were 18 people he fired from his golf courses that were from mm-hmm. South America and undocumented. Is that a little hypocritical of the president? I don't know what's going on with the president.
Yeah, it's very hypocritical that you want to spend taxpayer money to put up a wall in order to keep South Americans out of the country. But on the flip side of the coin, you are employing South Americans for cheap labor.
Mm-hmm.
Undocumented South Americans for cheap labor. You know, yes, that's very hypocritical. What I'm concerned about, what's even more, is I'm concerned about those kids that are still missing. You know, they're not able to reunite those families.
Of all those
South Americans, you know, that came across the border, you know, there are children missing. You know, there have been reports of people such as Mitch McConnell and his ship full of cocaine. So we know, you know, that have been substantiated. You know, so there are things out there that have been substantiated that tell us that there have been very shady dealings going on with our leaders. Now we have children going missing. Human trafficking is a huge problem in our country,
mm-hmm.
One that people don't want to talk about. Where are these kids? Where are the children? What did they do with the kids? Why can't we reunite these families? This is a serious problem. And I'm wondering why it's not getting the buzz. And I know it fell off a little bit, you know, things stay in the media for a little while at a time. But I'm just curious, you know, is it serious enough to get at the forefront? Why are they not able to do it? I know if there was a problem with we're going to have some serious problems. I mean, some heads are going to roll.
Yeah. God knows. I hope they're all right. I hope they're not dead or lost in the system. And, I mean, like, at one time, it was over 300 kids not reunited with their families.
No, at one time, it was over 2,500 children that were missing. Then they started putting it back. I think they put, like, maybe 700 and something back, you know. And so, you know, they were still missing. But, you know, if it's one child, you know, you take that all the way down to the one child missing from that
family. Wow.
Of negligence. And this is gross negligence. This is a serious legal matter, you know, legal and moral. But, you know, somebody is responsible for torture here. You know, somebody, you know, is responsible to pay something. You know, I mean, listen, there's nothing that, in my mind, that will tell me that all these families will be reunited. You know, just being a realist. Yeah, right.
They won't.
So, you know, the government is responsible for torture. You know, meaning that, you know, in court, you know, tort means that, you know, if I wrong you, if I just wrong to you, and you sue me in civil court for something that I did to you, there's a scuffle or something, we go fist to cuff and hurt you in some manner. And you have to go to court, and you have to go to the doctor, you know, you have to pay these medical bills, and then you sue me. Then a tort is what is owed to you, you know. Somebody owes you, America is in debt, insofar as these children are concerned. And that's mm-hmm. for, you know, for punitive this is serious.
One last thing I want to talk about before I sign off. The governor of Virginia, what's going to happen to him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Northam, what's his name? Northam?
Northam, yes.
What's going to happen to him? What do you think should happen to him? Did he resign yet?
Well, you know, Virginia's an issue in that, you know, right now, you know, Virginia had the first.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Virginia has the first one?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Barely.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, hold on. How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Virginia had the first black governor in the history of the country, Douglas Wilder. He's a friend of
right.
the family. Who is a Democrat? Assembly in Virginia, which is the governing body of Virginia, vastly Republican.
Right.
As of late, Hillary won Virginia, and Virginia, in large part, because of Northern Virginia. But if you look at the demographics. Going down south, like in Tidewater, it's almost 50-50, black-white. You know
right.
what I mean? So Virginia is really at a twilight right now, period, trying to figure out what Virginia is. Now, from what I understand, Northam even attends a black church. Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so,
well, you know what?
I don't know.
This happened in the 80s, right? This happened like 40 years ago.
It happened in 1984,
ago.
Right. Right. But,
I'm not condoning it. I'm not putting the past it. I'm an OG. I was in my 20s in the 80s. And let me tell you,
right.
the 80s was a rough era. And, I don't condone it, but we all did stupid things at 24, 21, or 19. He should have denied
yeah.
it. He said, I was a young kid. I thought it was funny at the time, but now I'm a grown man. I throw up at the picture myself. It would care about that, all would have been washed.
Are the most forgiving people on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not so much about forgiveness in this case. I think this really has to do with the fact that that type of a culture. It's not just something that happened in 1984. Before 1984, it continues to happen to this day. And the problem that Northam is running into, now he's denying that it wasn't in the future, after admitting that he had done it in the past. And
yeah,
probably more than once.
Yeah, his wife is pissed.
Well, you know, his wife was pissed, and so was Kavanaugh, you know, when he was going through all that stuff. And I'm sure that when they married their husbands that they thought that they were getting something better, I'm sure that, you know, they have a forgiving heart, and I'm sure those wives are going to stand by their husbands for a number of reasons, you know, and I don't really get into that, but what I'm saying is that is not that he may have changed. It is. It happened. To doing it, it was like, I did it, and it was back then. You know, I was a kid back then. You know, But no, it's still happening. And that laissez-faire kind of cavalier attitude is a problem that black people run into today. Oh, yeah, well, you know, this is, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, I didn't, you know, it was a joke. No, it's not a joke. It opens wounds. And, you know, people are still losing jobs, you know, because of a look. You know, you think that stuff started back in the 40s and 50s. It still goes on today. You know, people are qualified for jobs and getting them, and then saying they're overqualified. Or, you know, they interview for a job and they get a rating scale 1.8 or something like that, 5. You know, by that person. You know, these things need to stop. And people need to be held accountable, especially if they are in positions of authority.
Right.
For their actions. Okay, so now, yes, we do, we we're going to forgive them. That's what black people do. But the problem is that if you're in the position of authority, then you are responsible for the livelihoods of all those people who fall underneath you. So your judgment is always in question. So you need to be held responsible for everything that you do. It would have been different if he had admitted to it beforehand and then people have elected him into office. You know, but it didn't happen that way. Maybe not that incident, but he admitted to what happened. So I think the best thing for him to do is to go ahead and step down. I really do. As a Virginian.
I think we'll have another black governor. We'll have another black governor in Virginia.
Have another black governor going through the same issues that Kavanaugh went through based upon the recent allegations against him. And as a matter of fact, the woman who has accused him of lewd act has bought out and hired the same attorney in his situation. So I don't know about that circumstance, but he does sound like there's not much to it. But I think everybody deserves their day in court. I think that will come out okay. But, you know, at the end of the day, who goes through these sorts of battles come out unscathed. You understand? He's going to come out with some wounds, even if he is victorious at the end. So,
Madison, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I enjoyed our conversation. And, hey, don't be a stranger. Please come back, okay?
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And again, I'll be rooting for y'all next year, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day.
All right, now. You too. Bye-bye.
The Real Conversation with Kenny Jones and Madison Downs. I just want to say this before signing off. I will be reaching out to people that are self-employed. I'm going to be reaching out to people with small businesses. And we're going to be seeking advertisers again. And like I said, this ain't cheap. It'll be more like a partnership, you know. And again, don't be surprised you'll see something in your email or in your inbox. I enjoy your support.